You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue White Breakdown. The premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live. Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Johnny McGonigal.
Hey, Penn State fans. It is March 6th as we record this podcast, the Blue White Breakdown. No more February. I'm with Johnny McGonigal. And Penn State fans, he's playing hurt a little bit today. I tip my cap to Johnny. We are quickly approaching the start of Penn State spring practice, Johnny. The weather hopefully is starting to turn. We spent a lot of the winter talking about some storylines, and there's been a lot of news involving Penn State, but you know, now it's actually time for them to get out there. Winter workouts are done. I know you were up there for the max out day, where I think Nick Singleton like squatted like 4,000 pounds, which is, to me, I thought no one would ever beat like what Saquon Barkley could do in the room. But it sounds like Nick is right there with him, if not stronger. I know you had a chance, Johnny, to talk to Chuck Losey. Maybe before we just get into some spring items we want to talk about, you know, for the fans who haven't checked out your stuff on Penn Live about the Max Out session, it's usually very informative, Johnny, right? He gets asked about players who have really impressed him, and usually it's a good inside look into maybe some guys that maybe be sitting on a strong spring, because if you don't get it done in the winter, it's tough to have a great spring. So for the fans that maybe are still checking out your stuff on Penn Live, what were some of your main takeaways from what Chuck Losey had to say just about the winter workout warriors and maybe who's made some strides?
Yeah, Bob. You mentioned playing hurt. Listeners, I apologize for my voice if it's a little raspier than normal. Coming a little under the weather, but we persevere. We ride, Bob. And I was able to get up to State College last week for that max out day availability to speak to Chuck Losey, Penn State strength and conditioning coach. And, you know, he started off before he even took questions by just rattling off a bunch of names, guys who, you know, have really impressed him throughout winter workouts that are now wrapped up as Penn State looks to spring ball that starts next Tuesday. And there's a handful of names. But just some of that stood out to me, the one off the top was Julian Fleming, the transfer in from Ohio State, who we all know is a talented player and will be relied upon on the field from a production standpoint in this wide receiver room that we've talked about so much over the last year, really. But from a leadership standpoint, from a mentality standpoint, from a setting the tone standpoint, Chuck Losey, the strength staff and the assistant coaches have been really impressed with what Julian has done since enrolling in early January, coming in with the right attitude and the leadership qualities that you want, not only in the wide receiver room specifically, but on an offense that now has a new coordinator, a quarterback who's going into his second year. Like, these are things you like to hear this early, even before spring camp starts, if you're someone wondering how Julian Fleming is going to embed himself. And so that's a good sign. Some other names, some young guys who we've already heard about over the last year: Jamal Lyons, the defensive end, and Tony Rojas at linebacker, two guys who have made good impressions already, played a good bit as true freshmen in the 2023 season. Both of those guys are continuing their upward trajectory. Tony, I think, will play a huge role in 2024, especially with Abdul Carter moving to defensive end. Jamal Lyons looks to, you know, really assert himself in that rotation behind Abdul and behind Denai Dennis Sutton. And so I think he's on a good path to do that. We'll certainly have some competition with Zariah Fisher and me and Vanover. But Jamail Lyons has a really bright future, and he put that on display during winter workouts. Some other guys, Anthony Donko, Cooper Cousins, the 2024 early enrollee. Chuck Losey had a lot of really good things to say about Cooper, who, you know, was the first guy in the 2024 class. So he was a leader in that class. But, you know, I think maybe being an offensive lineman, it can happen a bit, but I think people might overlook just how good of a player he is, just flat out. I mean, he was a 4-star turned. I think one outlet had him as a 5-star by the time he signed. And, you know, he has, when he enrolled, he came in already looking the part. And that's hard to do as a true freshman offensive lineman. But, you know, Chuck believes that Cooper Cousins will be able to make a push for actual playing time. And whether that's a starting role, I don't know. But for him to even put himself in position to be in the two deep as a true freshman, I think it would be a huge boost to him and then that offensive lineman room as a whole. So Cooper Cousins, you know, if we're looking ahead to guys who might be that spring camp standout, among the 2024 enrollees, Cooper Cousins is one to watch, and Quentin Martin as well, the running back from Bell Vernon.
Love it. Yeah, I think so. Singleton, I think the squat was 570. I was watching. I was not up there. I was watching and just like in awe of him. It's always interesting to see who's going to go crazy.
It was ridiculous. I failed to mention that. Nick Singleton squat. It was insane. Yeah, God bless him for him being able to do that. And it was cool, too, because, like, you know, whenever these guys are doing their max outs, like, you know, Franklin's there, the assistant coaches are there, all their teammates are crowding around them yelling, there's music blaring. It's like something out of a movie. But Drew Aller was right there, right next to Nick Singleton, dapped him up after, congratulated him. So it was very, like, kind of, you know, the camaraderie, the vibes were high in the Lash building on max out day. And, you know, arguably, no, you know, the vibes were, you know, I think at its most high when Nick, you know, got under the bar.
Yeah, yeah. He's something, man. He is something. So, Johnny, let's, I'm going to bring up a couple of, in my head, a couple of players or positions that really intrigue me the most. And maybe I'm going to, you know, at the very end, maybe the one storyline that's got me, you know, the most triggered as far as how it's going to play out. And maybe you can just kind of comment on my thoughts here on the blue-white breakdown. So when I look at some players this spring, you know, I think Penn State fans know. So it's Penn State's spring practice sessions are going to begin next week. Their pro day will be March 15th. I don't think that's open to the public. It is open to me and Johnny. We'll be up there. But, you know, usually in spring, I think the Penn State fans know. So the veteran guys, the guys that are maybe established that are in their fourth year or even in their third year at this point, Penn State and the good ones, Penn State kind of knows what they have in them. And it's not necessarily that big of a deal for them because they're trying to get them healthy going into August camp. And I'm not going to say they're on a pitch count, but it's the guys that have kind of something to prove. And it's the guys that are younger that I think really are the ones that the Penn State coaching staff really need to kind of get up to speed so they can figure out, you know, where they sit with these guys, I think, going in to August. So with that in mind, a couple of the guys that I'm most interested in, to me, just because of either position or, you know, returnees or, you know, is it a strength or a weakness? So one of the guys that jumps out to me is a guy from the transfer portal, and it's the corner from Georgia, AJ Harris, second year player, 1 year at Georgia, 5-star kid. Penn State was interested in him. Penn State lost its top three corners, and you know they like their young players coming back. They like Cam Miller, and the room is certainly the way that they recruit, the way that Terry Smith coaches. Always going to be a talented room. They always kind of have their eye on the future. That's why they play their players young. But he is a player, Johnny, to me, that if they can kind of get him a long, talented corner situated and, you know, on the same page with what they're trying to do with the rest of the corners, he is a guy that I think if he puts it all together, has a strong spring, continues it in August, I think Penn State fans are going to see a lot of him. And the reason I bring him up is I'm just curious because last year everyone was excited about Storm Duck. He barely made it through April. He was on his merry way. I don't know if NIL was a factor or the competition was a factor. But Harris is a guy to me that I think if Penn State can get him comfortable, and he, just watching him, the pictures of him working out, he sure looks like a guy that knows what he's doing. He's got all the attributes. I think he's a very interesting player to me this spring and hopefully moving forward into August.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, Bob. You know, both AJ Harris and Jalen Kimber, the transfer in from Florida, who actually started his career at Georgia. So two former Bulldogs, one taking an extra stop in the SEC before coming to Penn State. Both of those guys, you know, come in with an eye on early playing time. And, you know, if you're Cam Miller, if you're Zion Tracy, if you're Elliot Washington, Aldavian Collins, like, you see those two guys come in and you think, okay, like, time to step up my game. And so I'm really interested to see how that corner room shakes out. And like we've mentioned before, Bob, you know, jobs are won, I feel like, in August training camp, but first impressions and good, like, you can really put yourself off on a good foot forward in spring camp. And as you go throughout, you know, May, June, you know, those individual workouts on campus and when you're working by yourself and building towards August training camp. And so if AJ Harris and Jalen Kimber, you know, if they're not having great springs, like, I don't think it's something to be worried about. If they're having phenomenal springs, I think it's only a positive, but also you just have to keep in the back of your mind that, like, you know, Cam Miller might turn it on in August and Zion, like, these guys. So it's a crowded room. It's a good room. It's a young room. Something that we can, you know, I can take from talking to Chuck Losey last week. He said that both Jalen and AJ coming in from SEC schools, they've been very businesslike. And Chuck went on to, you know, he lauded Penn State's recruiting department and the assistant coaches and what they've done specifically in the portal. And just identifying not only top players, but guys with the right attitude and with the right mindset to come into Penn, you know, come into Penn State, make an immediate impact. And that's what I'm expecting from AJ Harris. And that's what I'm expecting from Jalen Kimber, who started, I believe, 11 games for Florida last year. These guys are uber talented, especially Harris, a five-star guy in the 2023 class. And so, you know, very intrigued to see how that corner room shakes out when you've got two new guys, two high caliber guys coming in. And if you're Cam Miller and you know, you're basically behind, you know, Kalen King and Johnny Dixon and to an extent Aquan Hardy last year, you're thinking, all right, this is my time. 2024 is my time. And so Cam and Zion and those guys will definitely have some competition to overcome this spring camp.
Johnny, and the beauty of it for us is we'll be up there like once a week and they'll bring some players out and James will talk. And he whatever he has to say, kind of you can read the tea leaves with James. Like last year, I mentioned Storm Duck. We didn't hear a lot about Storm Duck's progress in spring. You know, a lot of other players got singled out. You know, he got mentioned on maybe if he was asked specifically about him, but we didn't hear a lot about him. And then you kind of put two and two together and he kind of jetted out of there. I'll be curious to see how much when James or some of the players or maybe Terry Smith is asked in general about the room, how much the transfer portal guys come up. Because I think if they don't come up, I don't know. I just remember last year we didn't hear a lot about Storm Duck. And then the next thing you know, he was headed, Johnny, he was headed to the ACC. But Johnny, another guy that I think is a guy that I'm really interested in this spring, it's a third year player. There's a lot of talk on the defense about the linebacker room, a lot of talk about losing the defensive ends and Abdul Carter moving to defensive end. Is Tony Rojas the real deal? All that stuff, and it's all of it is compelling. I think, for me, a guy that I think really, really could help transform this defense and get it to where they want it to be is, it's great that they got a bunch of the veteran defensive tackles to come back, whether it's Devon Ellis or Hakeem Beamon. I think they're sixth-year guys. Keziah Izzard is another veteran who James has talked up in the past, but he's kind of run hot and cold. For me, the guy is Zane Durant. 6'1". They list him at almost 290. He's one of the strongest players on the team. He's a guy that when you look at disruptive play in the middle of the defensive line, I think he is the guy that can do it better than anyone. I just remember the Northwestern game last year when he almost broke that poor Northwestern quarterback in half in the second half with that hit. Kind of finished them off because Northwestern was kind of hanging around. They weren't the same. Zane Durant, I think, to me, and now in his third year, he's a guy that I think can kind of tip the scales for Penn State in the middle of the defensive line. It's not just about the edge rushers. They got to be more disruptive inside. I think he's the one guy that can really do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I remember this time last year when we were speaking to the 2023 the 2023 recruiting class, the 2022 freshmen for the first time, it was Zane Durant that was, when Zane was a freshman in 2022, we talked to him for the first time around this time last year. You know, he had shown flashes as a freshman at defensive tackle, but not necessarily like he was consistent at times, but it was really like, oh, wow, that kid's going to be a real player for them. And he played a lot as a freshman. But one thing that he really harped on was being more consistent and consistently disruptive and finding more of kind of a starter quality role for himself. And I think he did that last season. I think he did that at a high level, 5.5 tackles for loss. And even when he wasn't bringing down running backs or the quarterback, like, it felt like he always had a hand in it. You know, like he would be cutting inside and forcing a quarterback outside and into the waiting arms, the welcoming arms of Adisa Isaac or Chop Robinson.
Welcome. You know,
I don't think quarterbacks would describe Adisa Isaac, it being a welcoming experience, being greeted by Adisa Isaac or Chop Robinson. NFL quarterbacks will find that out soon enough. But I think Zane Durant really played a key role last year, whether he was doing the damage himself or setting it up for other people. And so I think he's going to be able to do that again this year. He just brings something different, to that defensive tackle group, to the defensive line room as a whole. And now, I mean, yeah, you lose Chop and you lose Adisa, but I expect big things from Deni Dennis Sutton. I know you do as well. And then we know what Abdul Carter can do. And I just think that Zane Durant has a real opportunity again this year after showing what he could do last year on a more consistent basis to do it again and continue to build off of that. Man, I think he's primed for a really big year.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here on the Blue-White Breakdown, let's just switch to the offensive side. We have a couple minutes left. Johnny, what interests you? I'll just lump these two together. What to you is the more interesting, development? How Anthony Donko and Javen Williams kind of progress and kind of where they get situated? There's an opening at right tackle. I think Penn State is pretty comfortable with their inside players at the guard spots. I think Drew Shelton has probably got a home at left tackle. Those two guys, though, are really talented. Donko played a lot in the Peach Bowl. I thought he played pretty well. Those two guys? Or I think Penn State, they have Tyler Warren back, but I think if they're going to run two tight end sets, they have to feel really comfortable who that second tight end is going to be, whether it's Dinkins or whether it's a guy like Rapelier. Of those two positions, is there a pecking order for you, or do you view those as important developments in spring? Because I do think they need to kind of settle in there with Danko and Williams. They can obviously play, and also the second tight end spot.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more intrigued by right tackle. And I just think they're going to be good at tight end. Like, I think Tyler Warren, you know, talking to Dane Brugler of The Athletic, you know, he was telling me that, you know, Warren is an NFL player right now. Like, he could have left after last season and possibly been the third tight end off the board in April. And so to have a talent like him coming back, I think you work with whoever you have as your number two tight end. And I like what Khalil Dinkins showed in spurts last year, and think he's going to be able to just fill that role nicely. And I have faith in Andy Kotelnicki, the new offensive coordinator, by the way, to put those guys in positions to succeed and create space for them down the field. One thing that you kind of, not saying you can't control as an offensive coordinator, but, you know, offensive line play, right tackle, like, you just need to do your job. You need to be able to hold up and pass pro, be a mauler in the run game. And who that guy will be, I'm really intrigued by. I'll be very surprised if it's not Drew Shelton at left tackle filling in for Olu. He's been kind of primed and groomed for this position now for a couple years, and filling in for Olu in 2022, starting the final five games of the year and playing a good bit last year as well. Like, I think that's his spot. Right tackle, though, you mentioned Anthony Danko, who played a lot of reps in the Peach Bowl. You mentioned Javon Williams, Nolan Rucci, throw his name in that ring too. The Wisconsin transfer, former five-star coming in, 6'8". You know, can he move the way Penn State wants him to move? Is he going to be the size that Penn State wants him to be at by the time the season ultimately starts? So I think that's just a really intriguing spot, because I think they feel really good on the interior. You know, if it's Nick Dawkins at center, I think he's probably the projected starter right now. You also have JB Nelson, who could, you know, move around, be right tackle, maybe fill in left tackle as a backup, be a guard where he was last year when Landon Tangwall had to medically retire. And so there's some moving pieces on that offensive line, but, you know, I'm confident in Phil Troutwine to be able to figure out the right formula. And that's really where it starts, is spring camp, because you've got 15 practices, you know, starting next Tuesday, ending with the blue-white game. And then you've got, you know, obviously August training camp to figure out what your best combination is before that opener against West Virginia.
Yep. Johnny, one more for you. Playing hurt, I appreciate it. As it's a Wednesday, March 6th. Thank God January and February are over. Spring practice is next week. Just kind of a storyline for me. It would be on the offensive side. You mentioned Kotelnicki, first year from Kansas. I think this is James's sixth OC. How quickly can he identify, develop, and implement his best skill position chess pieces that are not obvious right now? So what I'm talking about is, obviously, I think he feels great about Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton. He's got a terrific weapon in Tyler Warren. But after that, who are they? How will he use them? James has talked about it. It's the big play has to return to Penn State's offense. They got way, way too comfortable trying to get to third and short last year. Maybe it was because they didn't have a lot of options. Maybe it because they knew the receivers just couldn't get open. But when you talk about some of the new players, when you talk about a guy like Julian Fleming, who, when you mentioned him at the start of this, Johnny, it's been a while since Penn State has had a big receiver in the passing game, 6 foot plus over 200 pounds. You look at the wideout room last year, they had some guys, but they were Keandre Lambert Smith still isn't 200 pounds. You know, Amari Evans can run, but he is not a big receiver. They just really haven't had a big body outside that can run. I'm wondering if he is the guy. I think they hope he is the guy, but I'm curious what you think about how quickly Andy can kind of get a good read on, you know, I have Singleton, I have Catron, I have Tyler Warren, who are going to be my other guys, so I can kind of design this offense and get Penn State back to a big play offense, whether it's in the passing game or in the running game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Penn State did last year from an explosive standpoint, and it just wasn't good enough. I mean, they were, I believe, 110th, tied for 110th in the FBS in passing plays of 30 yards or more. They weren't that great in the running game either. You look at Nick Singleton. I mean, the guy seemingly ripped off a 40, 50 yarder every week or every other week in 2022. And he was really bottled up last year, and he wasn't alone, and it wasn't all his fault. You know, it was a schematic issue and blocking and everything that goes into that. And you look at what Andy Kotelnicki did in 2 years at Kansas, the last 2 years at Kansas, among the best in the country in yards per play. That's both rushing and passing. So, he is a creative guy. He knows how to get his best players the ball, not only the ball, but more importantly, the ball with space in front of them and room to operate. And that's going to be a boon for Nick Singleton and Katron Allen and Tyler Warren. But it's also going to come down to, you know, who's going to be the guy that's, you know, creating plays downfield in the wide receiver room. Is it going to be Julian Fleming, Amari Evans, Caden Saunders, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Harrison Wallace? So there are players there. It's just a matter of getting the best out of those guys. And I think, I just remember when Mike Yurcich was fired after the Michigan game, and the co-offensive coordinators came in, and Ty Howell and Jaywan Sider stepping up into those roles. And, you know, what James Franklin said at the time and what those two guys said at the time, it was a lot of emphasis on, like, hey, we're going to get our best guys, you know, the ball in a position to succeed. And so it felt like there was just a disconnect there in the coaching room on, like, how to best do that when Mike Yurcich was the offensive coordinator. And I think that is, you know, priority number one for Andy Kotelnicki is just schematically doing the right things, but also just identifying who those guys are. And so I'm sure he's already done a lot of work. I mean, he's been with the team now. He was hired in December. He was with the team, you know, not coaching or anything, but, you know, he was with them in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. He's been around the Lash Building ever since. And so you got to believe he's been diving into that film, identifying and really evaluating what he has on this roster and how to best get the, you know, how to get the best out of him. And I know that's, like, kind of broad, but that's kind of what we have to work with right now. We'll find out more when we actually get to see some practice and see the blue-white game and hear from these coaches and players on who is standing out, who is making plays, and who we can expect to continue to make plays as we go into the 2024 season.
Yeah, and I just wanted to one more thing with Kotelnicki's offense. I think it's illegal on the blue-white breakdown to not mention Bo Prabula when we talk about spring practice in August and weapons and space and gadgets. And, you know, he is, to be fair, he is a dangerous player. He is a big athlete who can run. I mean, he's a quarterback for sure. But you look at his athleticism, I think if Bo Prabula wanted to be, he could be a wideout. If he bulked up, he could be a tight end. He could play running back. I mean, and I do think that Andy probably, as he watches this guy, is going to see that. I don't think that Mike Yurcich necessarily ever thought of an equation like that. Is I have an athlete who is a very good quarterback, but I also have another good quarterback. I mean, I'm sure Bo Prabula would be open to an expanded role, and I think he could help this team. Every time he got the ball in space, he did damage. I know it was late in games, but he also made some plays in the bowl game. He also made some plays down during the last two games after Yurcich got fired, and I'm sure Andy's taking notice. I think it's also kind of going to be an interesting spring for him. Johnny, I know you've been playing hurt. Anything else before we let you go, or should I just plan on seeing you next? I think it's next Tuesday. Around lunchtime, hopefully you're going to be ready, rocking to go. Anything else for you?
No, just looking forward to getting over whatever the hell this is, and being raring to go for next week, because it's going to be a good one with, you know, spring practice next Tuesday, all the media availability that goes along with that, and then pro day on Friday. As we know, it was always a busy day, always very with between interviews and everything like that. So very much looking forward to it, Bob. Looking forward to spring camp. Finally, right? You mentioned we're through January, we're through February, and hopefully it got nice out for like a few days, at least in the Philly area. And then now it's like back to being dreary and rainy and crappy. So it'd be nice if we could just like get rid of that altogether and just have it be nice out. That'd be lovely.
All right, Johnny McGonigal, you hydrate this weekend. I'm going to hydrate as well. It's going to be a different probably hydration for me than you if it does get nicer. But I hope you feel better. Penn State fans, we're going to have a ton of stuff to talk about next week. So good checking in with you now. But it gets real interesting next week for us.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.